What are the top 10 one-on-one fights in cinema?
Yes, it's more fannery time, and Mr. Frank Torres, we salute you again, sir, because you gave us two in 2 weeks. This has been a great suggestion. What are they indeed? The best one-on-one fights coming up now.
Hey screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
And me, Nico Luro, and it's movie time, AJ.
It is indeed, it is indeed. We're just throwing it down. We're throwing it down because it's all about the top 10 one-on-one fights. It's February, so it was picked by Mr. Last Week Topic, Frank Torres, once again. Big up for you on this one, Frank. I'm gonna be very honest with you. So honest with you. I had to request the silver screen dudes have a spreadsheet, guys, that says what's what. I had to request access from it, and I read a list in the wrong order before that was there, and I started compiling a list for top 10 black and white movies. I'm like, oh, that's not that week. And when I finished editing, it was like top 10 fights. I was like, ah, okay. So yeah, there were some films I probably needed to refresh one's brain on, which I haven't. So I'm going through fights that have instantly come to my head. They may not be the most epic, but they're the ones that have stuck in my head, people, which then makes it my top 10. So that's that. But that's how the top 10 works. It's our personal top 10. And that's what Nico's about to explain. Because if you are watching for the first time, Nico, would you like to tell them what the movie Mount Rushmore is all about?
Yes, it's basically a top 10 show between two best friends from school. So that's going back over 20 years now. And we are in on podcasts, we are in our seventh season, if you can believe it. And on our YouTube channel, there's no seasons, it's just weekly content, releases every single Tuesday. Thank you for joining us. Here's how the show actually works. AJ and I get assigned a topic, in this case by Frank Torres from X. Thank you, Frank. We go away, we compile our separate top 10 lists, and we come back right here and deliver to you, the Silver Screen Dudes, our film Familia, our individual top 10s. This week, I will go first delivering my bottom three. AJ will then deliver his bottom three. I will deliver my next two. AJ will deliver his next two. And then we will trade one apiece when we get to our top five. If at any time while we are rounding off our individual top 10 list, one person has a movie in a higher position, the person will say,
Hunt.
and we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to that high position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10 movies, we will create, in the voice of the dearly departed Matthew Perry playing Chandler Bing, in the voice of Chandler Bing, the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential diverse must-see movies of the genre, which this week is.
Top 10 one-on-one fights. But guys, before we get into the top 10 one-on-one fights, there's one extra bit. We, the screeners, have to create the top four must-see movies of a specific genre. It gets even harder for you guys because you guys have to get laser focused. Why? How? Well, quite frankly, you head on over to X. And when you head on over to X, you go to at movie MT Rushmore, or more importantly, at movie polls for you, because that's the guy we retweet. Good old JT from We Love Movies, because yes, we all love movies. And that's where you will get to vote on last week's topic. That's where you get to crown El Capitan, El Numero Uno, the King of Kings, the best of the best of the best, sir, with honors. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can only be one.
Nope,
And
there can be only one.
It's Frank's topic, not. I'm taking the pee. I'm taking the pee. Yes, in the end, there could be only one. So, how do you correct? What was the one? What we're going to, before we find out what the one was, we need to find out what the topic was. So, last week, our topic was
The best movie of 1999.
And the contenders were
American Pie, The Mummy, American Beauty, and The Matrix.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with The Mummy in fourth place. American Pie.
Steamrolled. American Pie just got 9%. It's not quite James Wan, but it's single digit.
Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear. Okay. The Mummy in third place.
Mummy did all right. 16%, 1/6. Not great, but it's all right.
American Beauty number two.
American Beauty at number two, 22%. Bro, The Matrix hurt the competition. 53% for The Matrix.
Well, I mean, that is the one. If we're gonna play the game, Neo is the one. So
Bro,
yeah,
there was no
okay.
spoon here. This was just like, wow.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Well, there we go. Okay, guys, look out for another top 10 1999 movies coming to you very soon. And we may even throw a guest in there just because we're that generous. That might be the way we're going to go about it. But right, let's get this show on the road for top 10 one-on-one fights. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, well, it's very funny that you mentioned in the end there can be only one, because my number 10 is actually Highlander, AJ, if it decides to.
Nice.
There it is.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah. It's on BBC at the moment. It has aged. Wow. So rewatch this. Do you know why I'm bringing this film up above everything? With the announcement that Chad Stahelski, the director of John Wick, is doing the remake of this, and Connor McLeod is going to be played by one Henry Cavill, you know that film's going to do well. And I think now it's very, very important to go back and watch the original Highlander. And I know people are going to call for the pitchforks here and see just how bad it is to appreciate the new one. Because I'm sorry, this film has a very special place in my heart for how of its time it is, but it's so bad.
See, the Highlander franchise is such a weird one to me. Because, again, I've said it before and I'll say
Part
it
two
again.
doesn't exist. The Highlanders
No,
are
but here's
aliens.
the
We don't
problem.
acknowledge it.
Here's the problem. I saw the TV series first. So, where everyone's all Connor, Duncan is the MacLeod that I'm familiar with more. I've
See,
seen
I'm the
Connor.
cartoon guy.
But
Quentin
here.
MacLeod is my guy.
So this is, do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's really weird. And then I've seen Highlander, and then I think, is it Highlander Endgame? Because I think Edge was in it now, Adam Copeland. So I've kind of wanted to peek into that, but I'm not like, I need to see the whole thing. And I was like, Highlander, Highlander. But each time I fought Highlander, I kept going Duncan and Dunk. There is one with Duncan and Connor, but I can't remember it enough. And that's not going to make it into top 10 final fights.
Bro, do you know the thing is that the specific fight I've picked is the Kurgan against Ramirez, because it has the most dramatic punch. Ramirez effectively is the one who trains Connor to become to become a proper Highlander after he's been kicked out of his of Clan MacLeod. Ramirez, the Spaniard played by the Scotsman, Sean Connery. I'm Ramirez. Yes, I'm Ramirez. It's nice, pleasure to meet you.
Or a stash.
Yes. R.I.P. Sean. But that fight's the powerful one, because the Kurgan's bad news, played by Clancy Brown, who I love. And that this guy keeps absorbing the powers of the other Highlanders, and he's all sorts of powerful. And you're thinking the one guy who could stop him is probably Ramirez. Nope. Off with his head. And then another, in the end, there can be only one. It's cheesy as all hell, man. Like, I'm genuinely curious to see how Chad Stahelski is going to make this cool and not as cheesy as it currently is in its current form. But that was the dramatic fight of the movie. It's my slice of edutainment for the week, just so people go and watch it, and then you can appreciate the new one even more.
Nice.
My number nine is a weird choice, but I actually think it's an incredible accomplishment. I don't know if you've seen the movie. I don't know if the comedy's your cup of tea. Mark Wahlberg in Ted. So, look, I'm a big fan of Family Guy, and one of the oh, sorry, I don't know why I hit punt there.
I
I
didn't
have an
punt.
issue. No,
The
no
punt is on
punt. No punt. One of the recurring kind of gags they have in Family Guy is Peter Griffin fighting the giant chicken, right? And they do it for so many seasons that you actually, in the end, forget about why they started fighting in the first place. But the fights are so insane and bombastic. One of them starts literally with the chicken giving him vouchers that are out of date. So he's giving vouchers out in the street. Peter instantly goes to reclaim them and they don't work. And he's like, "You son of a," and they start fighting. And it's proper violent stuff, man. Like, it's punches to the face, cuts, bruises, bloody noses, broken glasses, kicks to the groin, broken. And as they're fighting, boxing, all over each other, right? They're moving through whatever cityscape they're in. So, they'll be constantly in a punching motion with each other, biting and gnawing and all that. And they'll fall down a manhole. And then they'll keep fighting in the sewer. And then they'll come up and end up on a ferry. And then they'll fall into the furnace of the ferry. And that's how that fight will end. And then on another occasion, they'll start fighting and they'll end up in an airport. And then they'll end up on a plane. And then they'll jump out the plane with parachutes and they'll keep fighting, and one of the parachutes will break and one will land on top of the other. Like, it's so out there bonkers. And somehow, and it became kind of a hallmark for Seth MacFarlane, like Peter versus the Giant Chicken was the big thing, but there were also other fight scenes in Family Guy. And then you started to realize, hang on, Seth MacFarlane's actually got quite a penchant for the violence. He's quite good at this. It's larger than life, inexplicable, nonsensical, but it's still quite good. So when the news of this Ted movie, this stoner movie with Mark Wahlberg and a CGI bear came along, the bear voiced having the Peter Griffin voice, which is genius because obviously it's Seth MacFarlane, people were like, "Are they actually going to pull off a Family Guy-esque fight scene?" Yes. Yes, they are. Mark Wahlberg fights a teddy bear, and it's akin to Peter Griffin fighting the giant chicken in photorealistic live action. I don't know how they made it work, but the fact that they made it work, genius for me.
I'm really upset with Ted in a way that I want to finish it because I'm enjoying it. But I swear to you, this is where, at this point, I'd even call it narcolepsy, not sleep apnea, has taken over me. Like, I've tried the film 3 times and I'm enjoying it each time, but I crash and burn. Maybe I just need to do my cinema trick and just buy like 3 Red Bulls and watch it. But I have enjoyed
That
it.
sounds
I
good
have
for the
enjoyed
heart.
what I've seen, but I've not even got to the fight scene. But I do enjoy what I'm watching. So it's one on the list that I trust it will work.
It's fantastic. So you haven't got to the fight scene yet. So
No.
just, I would say before watching Ted again, just YouTube Peter Griffin versus Giant Chicken and watch some of those
Yeah,
fights,
feel
and you'll have an even greater appreciation for what the Ted versus Mark fight is in the movie. Do that.
nice.
My number 8, again, cheesy as hell, but I had to throw Mr. Jean-Claude Van Damme in there. Like, come on. That's not him. Come on. I'm gonna go Bloodsport. Frank Dukes versus Chong Li. Chong Li.
I
I
mean,
had
as
to
long
put
as
him
you didn't,
in
as long as it wasn't M. Bison getting kicked
there. In
in
the balls. In the balls.
the balls. Okay. Bloodsport's
This
one of
look.
those films I haven't seen. I really
It's really good, man. Like, it's B movie as you like, but it's good B movie, man. It's really fun. Jean-Claude Van Damme, man, they should have cast him as Johnny Cage. That he would have been so good as Johnny Cage in the Mortal Kombat movie. Like, then he's done Street Fighter, Bloodsport, and Mortal
The
Kombat would have
thing
been
about
perfect.
it, I think he just couldn't be the all-American hero for the second time with such a thick accent. He would have been a perfect Johnny Cage, though. Awesome.
Really
Like,
perfect.
he's built
Really
for it.
perfect. Yeah, man, look, I love this film. It's purely, it's simplistic in its purest form. Dude goes to compete to avenge family member who's been murdered. Dude goes to compete in underground fight ring in, I believe it's Hong Kong, and wins tournament. In order to do so, he has to fight the man who wronged his family, Chong Li. And it's like, okay, I see where this is going. I see how it's going to end. I see how it's going to play out, and I'm here for it. Bring it on. It's got perfect 120 frame a second slow motion of Jean-Claude going, ah.
I'm sure it does.
It's so fun, man. It's just so fun. Worth it. Really check it, please.
Cool.
You're
Cool,
number
cool,
10.
cool. My number 10. This is the one that you called when, in the height of the MCU, you were like, if you want this to go further, you need to make this happen. Is it the world's longest fight? No. Is it a double ended fight with a two way fight? No, it's one of the biggest beatdowns, but I think it's one of the fights that we need to acknowledge. Thanos versus the Hulk. Like, the more I thought of it, the more I was like, yeah, because everyone's like, the Hulk could, yeah. If Thanos thinks he's bad, wait till he got the Hulk. Even Loki quotes Iron Man. Oh, yes, you may have this, but we have a Hulk. Enter the Hulk. Shoot a beat down and the slap down. Man was beat so bad he couldn't even turn up for the rest of the movie. Like, it was, and I'll give you your props. You said it. If you want it to happen, kind of, I don't, I could quote a film that has been written. If you do something similar in a Justice League world, you need to get rid of Superman because the most powerful man could always be the one. So once you've neutralized that, everything ensues. And that's exactly what we saw. The Hulk came in, thought he had the cojones. Boom, bang, bang. A beaten man has never felt before. Like, we didn't even know Hulk could bleed. He felt everything. He felt everything that day. So much so that it was a banner movie after that. So, with that, like, that's
Let's
a
be
good point.
real. The beating was so bad, he didn't just not come back for the rest of the movie. He never came back, period.
Facts. Facts. Professor Hulk is not the Hulk.
Nope.
Actually, no. Yeah, no, because Ragnarok was before, innit? He didn't come back. We have not seen that man again. Like, that creature
So when I
has been.
said to your young nephew, kill the Hulk, they kind of did.
All I remember with that is going into a film with the most anticipation, and at the time, saying, yes, you're now old enough to go cinema on your own. You weren't then. And it was you
Yes,
say kill
sir.
the Hulk, which made sense, and Hulk being his favorite hero of the Avengers at the time. He goes, no, because if they beat Hulk, I'm walking out. And I'm like, young man, you ain't going nowhere. And I just saw this beat down in the first 5 minutes of the film, and I'm like, I hope this child doesn't try to walk out because I'm here for this. But I can't be an irresponsible uncle. But yeah, that was a beat down of beat downs, and it made the jaws drop. So that it gets this credit, man. It gets
I'm
this credit.
so proud for calling that one. I can't tell you. Like that, there's
Yeah, me
one of
too.
my. I'm the thing that made me angry was at the time we didn't do a predicting what's going to happen in the Avengers movie. We, oh,
No,
yeah.
that was a very good call, and I'll always give you a prop for that. Right, in at number nine, I always seem to forget this franchise, and just the other day we were talking about smartest movie decisions, and this came up on your list, and I thought, you know what, that works. For the fight, because really Ripley had no chance in hell had it not been for this fight, for this
Ah,
uniform. So
nice.
yes, Ripley versus the Alien Queen. I had to bring it up because I don't bring it up. I very rarely bring up Alien or Aliens and the rest of the franchise. And I thought this is a pretty cool fight because
Good
yeah,
for you.
as
Nice
you brought it
decision.
before, two mothers just out to protect their younglings, really, for the better or worse of it. And I was like, yeah, let's bring the fight.
Don't mess with the woman's offspring, bro. Oof.
No. Hell hath no fury.
Nah.
Literally.
Daddy's run away from that shot, from that stuff, you know?
But that
Daddy's
fight,
out. I'ma go cinema. You're dealing with your mother now.
Okay, ladies. I'm just gonna. I'll leave you to
I'm
it. Yeah.
out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
See ya.
And these two mama—I want to say mama bears—let's call it that—they—they they threw down like they're the two behemoths. Thanks to Ripley's enhancement with the crane mover, but the crate movers, but that was that that's a nice little fight that goes on. So
Just saying, black girl lost.
do you want that to stay in the footage, or do you want me to edit that out? That's your choice.
It in.
Okay, I may even make a short of it to see how brave you really are.
Do it.
We'll see if you're care enough after that one, bro. But anyway. Right. Yeah. Okay. We move on. In at number eight, this could possibly be a lot higher if
Oh,
I
can I
read
just add to that? The only time in history the black girl lost.
Redeemed.
Because this
Oh, I
alien
love
queen lacked a bit of that.
Slay girl.
That weave wasn't quite right yet.
There we go.
You see Ripley
There we
coming
go.
at her with the scissors, Alien Queen be like, girl, you done mess my hair.
Oh, this is a bit of a tangent. But I have heard of a comedian who said that. He goes, the worst thing you could ever do, and he's a white guy who dates black women and that, and he's like, don't ever, ever mess with a black woman's hair. If you want to see hell, mess with a black woman's hair. I can't remember the full length of the joke. I'll try and find it and post it out one day for you guys. But that, yeah. Yeah. You got to be brave. You got to be brave. Right. In at number eight is a film that I feel would have been a lot higher if I had a chance to revisit it. It's my, I think it's an inspiration to many, many martial arts movies that will come along later on. Even though there are many greats before, obviously, there's a certain gentleman who is there, but this is my early. I've only one of the earliest martial art movies I've seen, and I just remember this is one of the times I fell in love with the man that is Jackie Chan. It's not Police Story because that was the first I saw of him, but I'm
Yes.
talking the final fight in Drunken Master, him versus Thunder Legs.
You know,
Thunder
I've not
Legs,
seen this film.
bro. Is it? There's another film that might be in there, but it's learning. Do you have a young? A guy who's followed on to have a Netflix TV series in your list?
Who? Eco?
Daniel.
No.
Okay, so Karate Kid's not on your list, right?
No.
Yeah, you know the same way that we learn how wax on, wax off is a thing kind of thing. You kind of get that inspiration here, like learning the art of drunken mastery and all of that. It's been a while, so I'm a bit jaded on it, but it's, you know, a guy who's out to avenge his father and he gets trained by another guy. Very martial arts. You can see a trend in the way these stories are told, right?
Right.
And he's taken on the man who's done it before. And obviously, when he first starts, he doesn't have the skill to fight, and then he's built up and he becomes who he is later on. And he's learning the art of a new form of fighting, which is the drunken master. So he's literally fighting in the art of a drunk man. So even though he's swinging and swaying all over the place, he knows how to still kick some rear end,
Nice.
you know, in the way that Jackie does. It's the only one. I'm sure you may have the main martial artist, but I can never picture like a major showdown
Who's the
one-on-one.
main martial artist at this point? There's so many
Oh,
good
the
ones.
OG. I'm going for the OG when I say that.
Oh, Bruce, no, actually, I don't.
I kind of found it weird, so I held back. But it's like Bruce is always amazing, but I don't think the fights were
This
great.
is it.
It's
I
what I can
think
think of in my
he
head.
is greater than the sum of his movies. He's
Yeah.
the star. The fights are like the fights are very of their time. And to it, he is Bruce Lee fights are like what the Steve McQueen bullet car chases to car chase movies. Highly influential, but geez, they've been bettered since then.
This is what I felt with all of these stuff, and I know people are going to oh, they want to cancel me for
You
this.
can't look at a guy like Tony Jaa or Iko Uwais and say that their fight scenes, not as martial artists, because Bruce Lee's Bruce Lee, but what they've done in their movies from a choreography perspective, I'm sorry, it knocks the hell off of what Bruce Lee's done.
This is it, and the part where I know I'm going to get crucified by everyone, possibly even cancelled. I'm not into Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris means cack to me, man. I'm sorry,
I'm with you.
guys.
I'm completely with you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So yeah, I had to give it to Jackie, who gave me more of an interesting fight and a more of a story into the build-up of the fight than Bruce, who was just a human. You know, sorry, Josh Alexander, but that was the walking weapon. Like, you know, he is just unbelievable. But as you said, he is better than his movies. No opponent ever felt like a threat to me,
Yeah.
so from what I can think of off the top of my head. So that's why Drunken Master was my number eight. Over to you, sir, with your number seven.
Yeah, my number seven. So there were two fights I could have picked in this one. I don't actually think I've got the right image, but I've got the right character because I'm going. The movie is The Princess Bride, and of course, it's hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Now, the one I went with, I actually want to highlight his fight with the Dread Pirate Roberts before we find out the Dread Pirate Roberts is actually Wesley. Because you find out so much about Inigo Montoya in that scene. The latter fight where he fights the man with six fingers, I can't remember the character's name, but and obviously avenges his father's death. That fight doesn't have the impact without the first fight against Dread Pirate Roberts. Because
100%.
everything in the build-up to that fight, when Pirate Roberts is climbing the cliff, and he goes like, "I don't suppose you could hurry it up a bit, because I mean to kill you and I don't have all day." And the pirate is like, "I mean, you could throw me down some rope," and then he does, and he's like, "How do I know you're not going to cut it?" He's like, "Nah, I want to beat you hand to hand. How can I trust you? I swear on the name of my father, you will make it to the top alive." And then he climbs, and Pirate Roberts is literally ready to grab his sword. And Montoya tells him, like, no, have a breath. Take a breather. That was a long climb. Like, get the rocks and stuff out your boots. Give it a moment and tell me when you're ready to go." You learn so much about him from that interaction. He's a perfect gentleman. He's got honor. He's bound by code. And even when he loses that fight to Wesley, he drops to his knees. He doesn't bitch and moan like a little schoolgirl. He just sits down and he's ready to take his beating. And even in that moment, he's apologizing to his father. And Wesley takes pity on him. He's like, "Nah, man, this ain't your day." Gong.
Do you know the
It's a
thing
great
about
fight, man.
the Princess Bride and that fight is when you first heard the line, "My name is Ego Montoya, you killed my father, prepared to die," you kind of laugh. You're like, that's the line. Like you know what you're gonna say, and that's it. Like it's touching, but you're like, okay. You know, you're expecting something a bit more hard hitting. Then even this whole thing, do you think you could hurry it up? It feels quite comedic. But then, as you said, the more it develops, the more, and as you said, it puts weight on it when he says it later on. From a line that is a throwaway, "Ha ha, is that what he's saying?" to when it comes to the final fight, you're like, get him, you can do this. It's all because of that. It is very much all because of that. And I remember seeing that with the Princess Bride. I was so like, you know, again, as you said, it just felt like, okay, I get it. They're trying to not trying to be funny, because you still kind of giggle, but it's not as funny as you make it out to be. But you, as you said, it develops this character building in such a way, and to me, it's a turning point in the film. It's like it's
It
not just
really is.
the fight. This in the entire film turns at that point, and I yeah, very good shout, very good shout.
My number six. My number six.
Are we doing film or
We
fight?
are doing fight. My number six is the bride. Oh, there's my sword, boy. It's the bride versus Oren Ishii in Kill Bill Volume One.
Go again.
There's my sword, boy. This exact sword was in that movie. This thing was on a Tarantino set.
Oh my God, I'm so happy
Happy for
right
you.
now.
I didn't just bring it up to bring the sword out, but I'm every time I have an opportunity
I
to bring up
appreciate
this fight in the future, I'm going to do it, just so you know.
it. Thank you.
Yeah, man, this is spectacular, this fight, because what they do with Oren Ishii here, she really, of all the Deadly Viper assassination gang, she was so by far and away the most interesting of all of them. Like, I kind of liked the Michael Madsen stuff with him burying her in the desert in the second movie. The Daryl Hannah stuff with the one eye was kind of fun, but none of the fights felt epic like this one. Like, she's just been through a gauntlet. It's literally end of game boss stuff. She's literally beaten 88 guys and one
Followed by
lady.
Gogo.
Exactly, and one lady. And then she's got to go and she kind of gets her ass kicked. Like, until she remembers what Hattori ha all of her learnings from Mai Pei Nam and Hattori Hanzo, like, she kind of gets her ass kicked. Like, Oren is not to be messed with. The fact that Oren has a that animation about Oren's backstory is still one of the coolest things I think I have ever seen. And it's such a relevant but sudden tangent in the movie. It's like, wait, what are we doing? Okay, we've gone full anime for this now. I'm on board. I love this. That and that scene where she slices one of the Yakuza guys' heads off because he dares to mention her heritage. You know, before the Beatrix kiddo even steps foot into the snow, you're like, Oof. Yeah, I know she's just beaten 88 guys, but I'm not feeling her chances here. You know, because it's a movie, she's obviously going to win. The suspension of disbelief only goes so far, but you do have that moment of, ooh. Ooh. And Ore Nishii is such a cool character. Such a cool character. And the fight's brilliant. It's like Western meets samurai movie. It's so great.
I agree 100%. I've actually torn between two fights that come. In terms of intensity, Ore Nishii wins over everyone. I nearly, very a bit of a spoiler, very nearly went down the go-go fight because I felt there was more of a battle in there. I think there was more length in it until I rewatched it. I had to. I'm not gonna lie. It's not me not having seen the film because we all know AJ and Kill Bill. But I went through YouTube to try and compare which fights were the qualifying ones for me. And even Gogo bit, like as crazy as Gogo is, Gogo gets that
Tiny.
part, but it ended a lot quicker than I expected it. You know who Gogo is. And I kind of felt the same with this. It just, the intensity is there when we know she's been through the battle. I'm not dismissing it by any part. And by intensity, as you said, it's final boss level. Like all the others is there, but you know Oren is the most unhinged of the group, so you're like ready for it. I just needed watching the film. I always loved it, but I just needed a bit more of a fight, and that's why it didn't qualify for me as the one. But it was my instant go-to at first. I was like, oh, it has to be that one. But then I started looking at the different fights, and I'll
Interesting.
explain
So
why.
you're going to bring up Kill Bill then. Okay, cool. What is your number seven?
But that was your you done seven
That
and
was my
six
six.
already, yeah? Okay, cool.
We got Big Tone to worry about, bro. Come on, let's go.
Right. Okay, right. In at number seven, for me, we've had a bit of Marvel now for a bit of DC. This one is between those who fight in the dark.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Batman versus Bane. I would always say I'm not the biggest fan of that film. I'm not the biggest fan of Tom Hardy's voice choice.
Boom.
Yeah, like it was the weirdest thing. It's a different look to Bane, but to me, it's the Bane that fits current society. It's not the Bane that, you know, the old Bane. I don't know how you would have fit it in the Nolan verse. It all works. However, the panel representation of the back breaking and this fight was something that I've always, you know what comes and you're like, are they actually going to do this? Because really, there's no Robin to take over. We've not seen Robin, so who's going to become Batman while Bruce's back is broken? Oh, they went there. And that's the thing. Like, you hear Bane, you're like, are they going to go there? Are they going to go there? And again, kind of similar to Hulk and Thanos, Bruce is bringing it, but the League of Shadows had someone else who grew up and stayed with them and is one deadly kind of guy. He didn't even need the venom in this one. He brought the pain. And yeah, it was another one of those humbling lessons for your heroes. Unlike the Hulk, Batman did come back. But yeah, it took a while. It wasn't an easy feat. That was a breakdown. It's one of those fights that I feel Christopher Nolan, for something it's not his forte, should I say, really? The world of like fisticuffs and what have you.
Yeah, I
This one,
agree.
yeah, this one he done well. Yeah, it was a bit stiff on certain ends, but it was good to see. This was a showdown that went down well for me. It got me excited in the cinema.
Nothing to add. Summed it up well. I feel pretty much exactly the same.
Thank you very much. Right. This one has to be in because you kind of done the voice earlier. In at number six, we had to bring in Arnie. And no, it's not Terminator 2 because that doesn't have a good showdown. I'm going for Predator.
No, come on, get to the chopper, do it
Get
now.
the chopper, you're one ugly motherfucker. Yeah,
You are one
this one.
ugly.
That this this is this is a this is a fight that came down. Like I yeah, Predator was a bit I was a bit late on that one when it came to watching it. But when it came to it, and as you know, he finally, a whole squad's been eliminated for better or worse, apart from those who got to the chopper. And he's about to take on this alien who can camouflage, can do this, can do that. Now the fight goes down. And it's an interesting throw in fisticuffs. And if we're going to talk fights, you know, you start thinking action, you've got to start thinking Arnie. And to me, the Predator is really the one film that he's going to have a decent one-to-one in for all the action that he does. This was the one film. So
Yeah, it's such a great slice of late 80s, early 90s action, this, isn't it? Like, The John Wick and the Matrix stuff, the John Wick stuff especially, is definitely more highbrow and more beautiful and more choreographed than this, of course. But there was this perfect combination of both cheesy and visceral brutality that Arnie knew how to balance so well that I still think he remains without equal in the action sphere.
I agree.
He's
I agree.
so good.
Yeah, it was that. And he just had that perfect balance. There was nothing more to add on it. It's just what he done, and that's he's forever my top of the action
He
stars.
is like, have there been? Was about to say, have there been better action movies? Yeah, Two Lives and the Harrier, Jam Jet, and the
It's still Arnie. Did you know what I mean? No matter which way you look at it, it's still Arnie.
Listen, in my opinion, he's been in the two greatest action movies ever, True Lies and Predator.
Yeah, no, Predator had
If
to
you
get the
want
shout
to
for it.
show people pure action, this is it.
No, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. So that was my number six.
Yeah,
Now the people.
that's a good pick, AJ. I love it. Come on. All right, my number five. Now, we talked about Bruce Lee earlier, and when I was putting this list together, I was like, oh, I'm gonna do Tony Jaa. But the thing that makes Tony Jaa's fight so impressive is when he kind of goes crazy 88, is when he does these long one-shot takes of
Yeah.
not batting the hell out of 20, 30, 40, 50 guys convincingly. And then I was like, oh, I can't go Tony. Jet Li, I thought. I was like, yeah, but Jet Li does a lot of the wire work. He's an incredible martial artist, but a lot of his movies have got too much wire work for my liking. Then I thought of The Raid, and I was like, oh, The Raid Redemption. Yeah, but that end fight's 2-on-1. And then I was like, ah, The Raid 2. Here you go. Rama versus the assassin. Bro, this is God level stuff. This is unbelievable, this fight.
I've not seen
Does.
number two. I've not seen
Boy,
number two.
two is
And I
not
can
as good a
understand.
movie as one. It's just not. But this, some of the fight scenes, and this fight in particular, it's like, yeah, this is why I like this franchise.
It came up on a list, right? But I didn't want to YouTube it because I'm like, if I'm going to do the Raid 2, I'm going to do it from beginning to end. That was my thing. And I was like,
You
I'm
could
not going to.
YouTube it, I can assure you. You could YouTube this fight, and from a pure, just pure fighting perspective, you'll look at this and go, this is God level.
Nice. Okay.
It's
Okay.
so violent and so fast and so brutal, and they don't do the cheap Hollywood trick of cut the camera to make it look like mole to make them look fast by actually editing and hiding their lack of speed. No, these two are fast. These two are like, oh, I could have done Blade against Deacon Frost, but yeah, when
I
Blade.
was tempted, you know.
I was tempted when Blade goes beast mode and goes really fast, and you're like, this ain't Blade anymore. This is just Wesley being Wesley. Like, these two are like that. They're so quick and violent. And when they go from hand to hand, and then they're like, this ain't good enough. Let's bring some mini scimitars out. We need some curved knives because straight knives aren't good enough. We need to start slicing the back of each other's legs and then putting holes into each other. And it's like, oh my God, this is great, but Jesus, violent. Like, yeah, God level fight this one. You're number five.
I do want to check it. My number five, a film that's bashed by many but loved by the silver screen dudes. Guys, we're gonna go back, way back into time, because it's time for Achilles in Troy.
No punt.
Okay, my man, my man. Thank you.
Hell no,
Okay,
that's
over to you.
fine. Yeah, my number four. Let's get it up. This is a cheat.
Ah, of course. Of
Dark
course.
Knight Returns, the animated movie, Batman versus Superman. I am owning immediately the fact that this is a cheat because technically he does get Oliver Queen involved to shoot the arrow. So the reason it is not higher than this is because of that. But let us be under no illusion. Even before Oliver Queen shows up, which is right at the end of the fight, the Oliver Queen issues for what is all intents and purposes the killing blow. But up until this point, Batman has stood toe to toe with the boy, with the Man of Steel, and has twatted him, right?
I quoted Superman, I didn't even think of it. Maybe I thought
dude, this is the best Batman v Superman ever. This is the best iteration of Superman outside of Henry Cavill, who is the best depiction of him, but the best iteration of Superman, I would argue, ever was this Frank Miller version. Not to say that this is the best voice performance or the best Batman, because that honor still for me goes with Kevin Conroy on both fronts. But the Gotham in this is so dark, and the Batman that inhabits this Gotham is so freaking dark, and the fight they have is so believable, and the reasons for them fighting, unlike that Zack Snyder movie, are genuinely like, the fight these two end up in is genuinely like, Batman kind of just breaks bad in this, and you're wondering like, how is he going to beat Superman? Oh. And dude, it's that line. I say it all the time, and every time it gives me goosebumps. Just remember, I want you to remember it's in your darkest moments till your end of days. I want you to remember the one man who beat you. It's like, you've just looked at the most powerful being on earth and gone, what?
And it is the best bit. He is the one without powers. It's not the fastest man. It's not this one. It's not that one. It's the one who's just
the brains. Money and brains. It's just
and
like
time.
To look Prep at time. What shit. This is ant boot stuff. He is an ant, and he has literally just looked at a boot and gone, nah. It's so gangster, and it's not just. It's the fact that he grabs him and pulls him towards him. He's literally almost like the Joker there. It's literally like, look at me. You know, he's demanding his attention. It's so powerful. It's the fact that it's that grab. And even in his defeat, Superman is still a good guy, because he can see Batman's heart is weakening. And he's like, Bruce, your heart, shut up. And it's like, Jesus Christ. It's like, what happens when Batman breaks bad? This. He beats up Superman. Like,
for fun, like, literally.
Because he can. It's like, whoa. Yeah, man, this fight, something special.
Good shout. Very good shout. Very good shout. Okay. My number four. Now, it's Kill Bill territory, and I was torn between it. I was nearly on the L of it. I've actually gone for the first one, Vivica Fox.
Oh snap! Okay,
I can't remember her name. Yeah,
Cottonmouth,
because
wasn't it?
Here's the thing: is it Cottonmouth? Cottonmouth feels Luke Cage. I can't remember her name. But I nearly went with the Daryl Hannah one and the whole eye removal. And it is kind of cool because it's like so tight and the space that they're in, but. It also felt very much like a replica of this one, just in a tighter space, and that's why I've gone with it. It's that what I like is the way it became very unassuming. You know, this in the other one, there's, but you've got this white picket fence area, kids' toys outside of the house, rings the doorbell, and they just have this whole conversation of, this isn't who I am anymore. But then it kicks off and they just throw it. And it's a balance in the fight as well. It's not just a very one-sided, oh, the bride is in there and goes for it. They tear down the entire house. And then in the way that only Tarantino can do, while they're fighting, and it's, again, I'm just going to pull that scene again. Just look at it there. The school bus.
Yeah.
And her daughter just comes up and they just randomly just stop. You know, stop and have this whole level of conversation of, yeah, mum's friend, and oh, what's this? Oh, your dog was playing a fool, and this is why the house looks like this. You can see everyone fully battered and bloodied and everything. They're just casually hiding the knives and that. I think the end was a bit of a fluff line for me. You know, she pulls the gun out of the cereal and then that's the part I would have liked the fight to have maybe continued in a weird way. But it just, I think it sets the tone for the film and well, the two films of who the bride is and how deep she's willing to go in for a fight. And yeah, that's the one I kind of went for in the end. I rewatched the fights of the three ladies she takes on from the Deadly Viper Assassin Gang. And that's the one that won it for me, to be honest.
And to think it's all just a cheesy pilot episode from Mrs. Mia Wallace's career.
Exactly. The jaw can't drop twice, but the first time that ever came, I
I'll
was
never forget the joy on your face when you realized it was all connected. I was like, I love that. I love everything about how happy that has just made you. It's so good.
yeah, that was mad. That was mad when I heard that one. But yeah, that was my personal choice. It probably wouldn't be for most people, and I get the intensity behind it, but this was the seat the setting of the tone for me.
Cool. My number three, a lot of people may think some people would argue it's the best fight of all time because it's definitely got the biggest plot twist in cinema history of all time. I don't think that's beyond dispute at this point. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because these other two, I don't know. I don't know why I'm putting this at three. Just in my head, this is in the scope of this top 10 list, it's a three. The I am your father, Darth Vader versus Luke fight. Yeah.
My number three.
Damn. Okay.
Number It, look, to me, there is no. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because you can say there is no bigger showdown. I can only complete it with there's no bigger showdown in Star Wars history. You know, it's the one that you're going to think of because if you take away a sequel, you take away a prequel, you take away all the side stories, Luke is the ultimate good, and Darth Vader is the ultimate big bad. You know, screw the Emperor. The Emperor just gets body slammed off the edge of a cliff. You know, like this is it. These are the two dudes are the
Dark
two
side.
big dogs.
These are the guys you care about.
You know, like you talk about the Force, you talk about anything, you picture these two. You know, I think we said it before. The most iconic villain, irrelevant of what anyone wants to say, is Darth Vader. Whether you love
Course it is.
Star Wars, hate Star Wars, it's who he is. You know, it's legit there. You picture a villain from a film, this is probably most people's first go-to. And I think the Joker might be second place, but literally in a post MCU world, Thanos. But for to last the test of time, it's Darth Vader, and this is the showdown between them. And there is that one fight with the Emperor in the background. Yeah, do this, do that. That sucked. Whatever. This one goes for it, and as you said, it reveals the biggest plot twist. It's just big. Could it have been deeper? Yeah, like you could go into a prequel, but that's a 2-on-1. And yes, the fighting and the choreography there is a lot more intense,
In
but
some of
the
them, if you
show,
mean the Darth Maul fight, then yes.
yes, that's what I'm talking about. 2-on-1. Yeah, no, I was not talking about Obi-Wan versus Anakin. No, that has the lower ground anyway. But this is what I'm saying, this
Love
is your
that. Good for
ultimate.
you. Love that.
This is the one. It's the ultimate showdown in of this universe. No matter what anyone wants to say, this
Of
is the
course it
hero
is.
that you've grown to love.
Of course it
That's the
is.
villain that you know you're meant to hate. And they're related. Whoa, plot twist. And even when he says that, he removes his son's arm. Like, what the freak? Like, please.
It still staggers me that some people, my wife included, frankly, it still staggers me that some people think that now that they've all come out, the correct way to do this is watch them in the correct order. I'm like, you do realize if you do this and you should, let's say, take Leia, my daughter, for example. Funny, we're talking about Star Wars. This is, oh, I'm getting all chuffed up here. If I was to show her episode one first, on the basis, which is what my wife and a lot of people online argue for showing kids Star Wars, start with the first one because they'll associate themselves with the kid to start off with and they'll have a character to attach to. Fair argument,
Oh,
but
what, the
you do,
villain? Okay,
right. You
that's the
do
one I'm currently.
realize by doing that, you have just deprived whoever's watching this of the biggest plot twist ever.
So here's the thing. I've done it in order of chronological order, but I'm also aware of what was to come. If you're completely oblivious, and I believe pop culture has changed a lot in our times. You know,
Yes.
we are the generation where that was going to be a thing. You don't hear it as much now.
You don't.
There is no way I would release it to somebody that you know who it's going to be. It dampens it. Why would you do
Completely.
that?
Well, it flattens it. It's non-existent. It's like, okay.
When he goes, no, you'd be like, no, yeah. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? I fluff my words on purpose there, people. But it'd be like, oh, he's shocked, but I'm not. You're meant
That
to
no,
feel the
he
shock
does
with
isn't
him.
yeah. Exactly. That no he does is meant to be synonymous of what the audience is feeling as well. Huh?
Yeah. Side note to that, don't let her watch Toy Story 2 before she watches Star Wars then.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. My number two.
You didn't think of that,
No, well done. My number two.
Okay.
The punt. Yeah, put it higher than Star Wars. I rate it this highly. Hector!
It's a showdown. It's a showdown.
Hector versus Achilles, man. This is so powerful. Like, AJ and I are big fans of Troy. We, for the longest time, said we don't understand why this movie is hated. Not by all, but by some. Doesn't make sense. I think it's spectacular as a film. Absolutely love it. Everything works for me in this film. The ending is a bit rushed, but other than that, I really do like the film. But the pinnacle of it is this fight. Everything that precedes it, from his cousin being killed and then him coming up to the gates of Troy alone and literally going, Hector! And Hector knowing, like, I'm flubbed. Like, he knows he's got no chance in this fight. And that speech that Achilles gives him, I'll pluck out your eyes, I'll pluck out your tongue, I'll cut off your ears so that everyone in Hades knows this is Hector, the fool who thought he'd killed Achilles. And then is there no means of alliance? There are no alliances between lions and men. It's like, oh, ooh. It's like how to say manly things to make every male in
You're not
There's
wrong.
me while wearing a freaking tie-dye marshmallow fleece, but it's like, yes, even hearing those lines, I'm like, rip it off, manly man, come on, kill him. Like, it really gets the blood pumping, doesn't it? And the
Does.
choreography, and it's not a short fight. It's not
No,
just a ching
no.
ching, we're done. It's beautifully choreographed, this scene. And at no moment do you think Hector has a chance in hell, but you're surprised he lasts as long as he does.
The thing is, so you have this split of who you really follow with it, because you like Achilles, but you also like Hector. You only just hate Paris. That's just the life of it,
What you're meant to do.
Yeah. And it's like, but you see Hector's point, like, I thought I killed you. I didn't know who it was. This time, rips off the mask. Now you know who you're fighting. It's like, yes, like war. As you said, it does get the testosterone going, and it's like,
Completely.
it's the best that they have. And we're gonna go with it, but you're also, if you know your Greek mythology, you're pretty much aware that Hector, that Achilles is superhuman. He's blessed by the gods. The film doesn't show you that, but you're still gonna be like, you have no chance, my dude. But you're like, okay, maybe he can. Maybe no, no. But
This
it's
ain't
done.
Batman v Superman.
Exactly. Yeah, this superhuman will. We'll mess you up. This is a demigod, and he ain't mucking about. Yeah.
It's so good. It's
Yeah.
so good. Everything about it, the tension, the music, the choreography, the dialogue that precedes it. I think this scene, this is God level, literally. I love this scene. You're number two.
My number two, look, it's one of those that's always going to get my adrenaline pumping, and it's last week's number one. It's The Matrix. Neo versus Smith in the
Yeah,
subway.
I toyed with it.
It's just one of those moments that it's, put it this way, through all of this, Neo is still learning who he is. You can see it. He's done stuff. He's dodged it. He's had a little fight. The bullets. We get that awesome bullet time where he's bent back. But when it comes to it, he still needs to escape. He's not fully there yet. And then he's everything's there. He starts shooting guns. Gun to the head, literally on both ends. You're empty. So are you.
Super.
And it's like, you can't shoot now. You're gonna have to do this. Now we've seen you say, I know Kung Fu, but Morpheus owned you, my bro. And Morpheus has also just been owned by these. So really, you shouldn't have any form. But a self-discovery comes in, and the fight, and the fact that Smith can morph and change into, like, you think it's there, it's over, no, he's back, it goes into this and all of that. It's just like, what a fight. It just it's the revealing of it, and it's
Smith smacks him about. Let's not call a spade. Smith absolutely smacks him about in this.
He smacks him about, but he discovers it. But we see that he's learning, and you get that hope. You get that hope. I'm not going to spoil The Matrix for anyone who's not seen The Matrix, but you feel like it's there, but it's there, but it's just not enough, son. It's just not enough. That's
fact.
The one.
Fact.
Yeah, had to go with it.
Right, my worst, you referenced it before, and I don't care. Bring on the fan from the toxic cesspool that is some Star Wars fans. It's Anakin versus Obi-Wan. I've done it. I don't care. I think it's so trash. Everything about this you can pull apart. The fact that they've done it in this lava pit just to accentuate how bright the lightsabers are means the thing just looks like a freaking light show. It doesn't have any impact. You know, look at what they did. Look at what they did in Empire Strikes Back. It's dark, but you feel the oomph of the lightsabers. This just looks like a light show. The choreography is so terrible in this. Like, it goes from them in that control room, literally going swinging the lightsaber blades around each other, not actually making contact. So it's almost like dancing, pirouetting. And then they get to the point where they're doing the swing, swing, swing. I'm like, really? And then they balance on robots. And then it's over, Anakin. I have the high ground. You are on the equivalent of a two-step ladder. I've seen now Jedis jump over chasms. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi in that first, in episode one, had to literally jump the equivalent of a freaking tower to get back up to where Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn were. Like,
yeah.
Jedi can jump, right? But no, the step defeated the mighty Anakin Skywalker. Le step. And then you'll have the same people who didn't like the way that some of the Force powers came to be in the sequel trilogy. These same tools will then go, well, no, actually, some Jedi don't have the Force chop power. Shut the hell up! Take your extra lore shib and shove it up your backside. I'm going off of what a movie has told me. The movie has said Jedi can jump. Like freaking Spider-Man, they can jump. But this motherflubber, because plot says so, no, the mighty step has defeated me. Shut up. And you're trying to tell me that this is the fight that births Anakin being mangled and torn and shriveled and shredded. This is what makes Darth Vader? It was bad enough that we had to do the whole "Thanks for the usual, Vader, and stuff."
Wait for it. How is Vader?
In the Emperor's throne room. It was bad enough that I had to suffer that nonsense. Now I have to suffer the step of destruction. Kiss my buttocks.
Fair play. It's no secret to anyone who's followed Silver Screen Journey. I'm not a fan of the third Star Wars movie. It's never going to be for me. So, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. It's funny how, like, you had Star Wars and then was going to quote Star Wars, because I nearly went down the Kill Bill route. I nearly went down to the fact of Kiddo versus Bill was just five pokes of doom and that was it. You know, I was like, for the big showdown, for the whole it's Kill Bill, it was that. Then I remember the film. And I'm kind of cheating because there's two fights that I've referenced, because dare I say, this is possibly one of the greatest sets of fights you'll see, but it's the worst choreographed fights you'll see. But you can only but help but laugh every time you see it. Nico, my bro, where am I? Would you like to step outside? Yes. I couldn't help it. I went for Hugh Grant versus Colin Firth in both Bridget Jones 1 and 2, because each time these two men clash, like, you can't help but laugh. They are not one-on-one fights to be respected by any means, but they are some of the best comedy you will ever see. I can't help.
Okay, outside, should I bring the pistols or dueling swords?
And it's like when the guy goes into the like Turkish restaurant and he's into the Greek restaurant and he's like, fight outside is one of the greatest things you'll see. And, you know, all the waiters come running out and they're just trying to cheer. And it's the worst little headlocks and pansy throws you're ever going to see. And you're like, what is going on? This is not a fight to cheer.
and then you see Colin Firth do what he does in the first Kingsman movie, and you're like, oh.
Exactly. Man is the make of the man. Like, you've got no choice. You've got no chance if that's what he's really about. But, yeah. You know, you go to, like, Bridget Jones 2, and it's the same thing. Right, Darcy, will you step out?
Outside. Oh, not this again.
Do you know what century we're in? Not only is it these weak throws again, you've got Hugh Grant running off from him, and you're like, it's comedic gold, but it's the worst fights you'll ever see. So, because I nearly made it my number 10 to acknowledge the love I have for them, but I was like, I'm gonna show it some love. I need to show them some love.
It's no, well done. I like what you've done there. Well done.
They're not fighters, but it needs to be done. Okay, you're number one, sir.
Yeah, man. A very, very short fight, but it's from my favorite trilogy. Aragorn versus Lurtz in The Fellowship of the Ring. Now, this is a very personal choice based on a very personal experience. When The Fellowship of the Ring came out, I saw it twice in cinema. And one time I had the privilege of watching it very recent, close to its release, in an aeroplane. Okay. And something strange happened on all three occasions. Now, you've got to remember, this is long before the MCU became a thing and audiences got loud again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Audiences remembered how to clap when Marvel came into fruition. Prior to that, it was like, you know, if you were an Avatar, you got to clap. But mostly people didn't clap in cinemas anymore. It was like, not a thing. Watch the movie. Thank you. Leave my trash too. You're a pleb. Pick up your trash. But something strange happened with The Fellowship of the Ring. People lost their minds. And when I was watching this on the plane, it wasn't like personal screens with personal headsets like you have now. It was just on one of those big, you know, roll down screens that you used to have. And their audio was being blared old school, and the volume was being blared throughout the plane. And the plane lost its mind when this fight happened. Nice. And here's why. Because Boromir's redemption arc is so powerful, and his fall into darkness is so tragic, and his arc is so freaking compelling. When he's there trying to redeem himself and save the hobbits, Merry and Pippin, and ultimately fails by getting shot three times, no less, by arrows by this nasty Uruk high leader called Lurtz. You know, Lurtz is ready to put a fourth arrow into his head at point blank range. He's a sadistic, nasty piece of work. He's looking at him each time he fires an arrow, he does this malicious, self-satisfied smile, and Boromir gets shot the first time and he's going he kind of hulks up, he stands up and he keeps fighting to defend the hobbits, and then you hit another shot comes in and that he goes down on his knees, he's leaning on his sword, he comes up again and he keeps freaking going, beast of a man. And the third arrow, you don't see, it's so powerful what Peter Jackson does, you just hear that. You just hear the arrow sound effect and him going, and you're like, did he just get done again? And then they do a side on camera shot as he turns and you see three arrows embedded in him. And at that point, he can't get up. And it's tragic because just in the scene before that, he tries to steal the ring from Frodo. And so this is mega, mega, mega redemption. It's like, Jesus, the ring took a hold of me. I know I've done wrong. I need to save these guys. So this is mega redemption, and it's just been flatlined by this mega orc called Lurtz, who, just for good measure, then walks up to him, and you see all the other orcs are leaving. They're rushing off. They've got the hobbits. Rah, 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 we're going back to Saruman. We've got our prize. You just see the feet slowly walking up to him and then stopping and turning to face him. It's like, I'm not done with you. And he's ready to pull point blank range to fire a fourth arrow straight into his head. And Boromir at this point is just like, yeah, I'm done. I got I'm three arrows in me, dude. Like, and Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen comes along and just kind of gets his ass kicked. Because Aragorn's shown at this point that he can throw. You know, he's trained by the elves. He knows how to wield a sword. But he's not ready for how strong Lurtz is. Like, Lurtz throws a shield at his head, trying to decapitate him. And the sides of the shield literally pin his neck into a tree with the shield protruding there. Lurtz puts his sword on the shield and tries to decapitate Aragorn. And he's just like, whoop, ducks out. Aragorn gets his dagger out, stabs it into Lurtz's leg, and Lurtz is just like, pulls the dagger out his own leg, goes, licks the blood off like freaking Hangman Adam Page, lobs it back at Aragorn, who last moment grabs his own sword, hits the dagger out of the air, and then goes Super Saiyan on him, literally full speed with a heavy ass freaking sword. And that's the point where Lurtz is like, oh shit, you know, I've been outdone by a superior swordsman. He slices his sword arm off, and Lurtz just keeps looking at him, you know, sans one arm, and he's like, what? And then Aragorn puts a sword through his stomach, and this is how badass Lurtz is. He grabs a sword and pulls it more into him, going, and Aragorn is just like, nah, dead this guy. He rips the sword out and slashes his head off. The moment where he slashes his head off, the f***ing cinema and aeroplane went nuts. And it's like, Jesus, thank you, God, kill that mother flubber. You know, he not only killed Boromir, this dude was unbeatable. Yes, kill him. And it's so short-lived. But what they achieve in that short time, and also what happens with Boromir before and after, is just like, yeah, man. Like, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Nice.
Something about that film that I try, but I just can't keep the focus on.
I'm rewatching them at the moment, bearing in mind my night times are limited. I've just bought the new extended editions. They're not new because they're longer. They're just the same extended editions as before. Very hefty in length. Upgraded to 4K. The thing is that they come across two discs. Each disc is an hour and a half to 2 hours. So just treat each disc as a separate movie and then move on to the second part when you got the time.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just,
you can definitely accommodate an hour and a half to 2 hours. Definitely.
It's not that. It's just my focus always wavers with the film. I don't want to say it's boring, but I'm into it, but I waver. I don't know. We'll see.
You need to get past the Hobbit stuff at the beginning, even though it's incredibly important for the overall narrative to understand that these people are not very hardy people, and yet they're going to be the ones tasked with saving the world. So it's important, but the moment the Nazgul and the Ringwraith start to hunt them, it's like, okay, we just picked up here. It's even now, mate, 20 years on, Anya and I, we've just got halfway through the Two Towers, and we're looking at each other as each disc is ending, going, Jesus wept, this is good cinema. Like, it's just without rival.
Yeah. Okay.
You're number one.
My number one. Do you know, it's weird, because by all proxies of it, I don't think it's not my film. It's something I've loved and I've gone for. But I feel it was one of those, maybe it's a nostalgia thing, that you can't help but cheer. I felt like it needed to be a showdown of the ages, one that we can always go back to. And I'll give you your credit. You've always said it's the one that ended the Cold War. Yep. Yeah. I went Rocky versus Ivan Drago, that to be the one-on-one. Because in a weird way, he was like, a supervillain in himself, you know. We've seen, I kind of toyed with like the first Rocky, I was like, oh, but he loses, so a bit of a down. And I was like, number two,
Rocky
like,
two would have been my one if I'd gone with Rocky. He finally,
I kind of felt that he does, but then by that time, then you know, the way the film ends, and then they're getting on. It's that okay, he beat Apollo, but it's that, you know, they're friends by this time and stuff. Apollo dies. This man kills Apollo, who we've now accepted to love, and they, you know, they're the boxing buddies, friends, special friends, and it's
special boxing friend forever and ever.
Exactly. And it gets to the point of the man's on the ground and it's not looking good, and this cold-hearted son of a just goes, if he dies, he dies. And you're like, yes, Rocky has defeated Apollo, but Rocky also lost to Apollo. So Apollo's no easy feat. So you're like, oh God, like, how can Rocky do it? And this guy, because of the way that they've put, again, biggest form of propaganda you can have, you've just got this cold-hearted Russian, and that's not me being anything. It's just the way the film's portrayed it. He literally looks like he's a cinder block. And to this day, I can't look at Dolph Lundgren as anyone but Ivan Drago. You know? Yeah. And that's the way that it's become. And I was just like, it's that showdown. And it becomes so much more sentimental because of the fact that we've lost Apollo. Okay, yeah, Rocky bests the guy who he lost to in the first film. This one has purpose behind it. We need Rocky to win this one, you know? And that's what I was like, yeah, that's probably the one. It's not one of my go-to films in terms of stuff, but I was like, for a one-on-one, this was it. It was, not only did he do it for Apollo, not only did he do it for Rocky, he did it for America. America. There we go. It just, for me, I was like, is this really the number one? And I was like, maybe there's my, always the Matrix is number one and all this kind of stuff. But I was like, this actually works. It gets you in your feels. And I had a throwback of the chills I had as a young lad who caught this for the first time. And it was like, yes, Rocky!
Yeah.
You
know, so how do we rush more this? Because although Star Wars has been on our list, it can't go on because it's an automatic win. So no to Star Wars. Can we put Hector and Achilles on?
Yes, that was the only other punt, I believe.
So
Hector
and Achilles. The Bride versus Oren.
Because I know the other one won't work, so yeah. Everyone, if you were going to lean Kill Bill, most people would lean that way. I get that.
And now, what would you like to bat for, AJ?
The Bridget Jones fight.
I'll let you have it too. I think it's a really nice, fun bit of counter programming.
I would love to, but I think I could just see the burial. Predator.
For a bit of an automatic way, yeah.
But then, okay, Rocky versus Ivan. I think Rocky versus Ivan's a good one.
Tell you what, do Predator and Rocky versus Ivan Drago.
Okay.
Honey versus.
Yeah, I could work with that.
Predator.
Hulk versus Thanos is a nice nod to the hat for us, but I don't know how good it would do. Batman versus Bane, I don't think we get the love it deserves either. So I think this is probably the best we'd get.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official movie Mount Rushmore. Of one-on-one fights in no particular order is
the Predator Showdown.
Our second entry is
the Bride versus Oren Ishii.
Our third entry is
Rocky versus Ivan Drago.
He's not human. Our final entry into the movie Mount Rushmore of one-on-one fights is
Hector versus Achilles. And guys, don't hate on the film. You know, it's a good film. Don't ever try and put it down as a like, oh, 4% win. I'll be highly offended.
It's a it will. Good. It will. It's about to get hurt.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. People can be wrong. Okay, guys, that's the one. So now it's over to you. We've done it. Now for the laser focus, head on over to X to crown El Capitan El Numero Uno, the best of the best of the best. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can be only one. Yes, how do you crown the one? You head on over to X at Movie MT Rushmore, or more importantly, at Movie Polls for You, the person that will be retweeting. You only get one vote, and next week the winner will be announced.
Yeah. Thank you once again for joining us right here on the Movie Mount Rushmore, our weekly top 10 show. Don't forget, you can go and check out our ranking. Well, my ranking video, our ranking video, the channel's ranking video, where we count down the best and worst movies of 2023. It seems to have done well, so we're probably going to do those a few more times throughout the year. But for now, there's also a load of silver screen movie news for you to guys to catch up on. Daily content coming for you right here on the Silver Screen Dudes YouTube channel. Thank you so much for helping us reach nearly 12,000 subscribers at the time of recording. Let's push on for 20. We will see you next week right here on Movie Mount Rushmore of the Silver Screen Dudes. Bye for now. See ya.
Until next time, I'm the one AJ Anthony Jordan.
And I'm Nicole Leroux. See ya.
See ya.